Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And this week's article, feature article, is about, it's titled In Defense of Scrooges. So check it out. We've gotten a lot of good comments on that. And if you subscribe this week, you still have time to get that article. And we would appreciate that. And also any comments that you might want to make. And don't forget, if you subscribe and you decide that you change your mind sometime, either immediately or a year from now, it's very easy to unsubscribe. And it's just right there on the email, right there in the newsletter. You can do it yourself, actually. You can unsubscribe yourself. John O'Donohue is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. John is our favorite Irishman, and he is in Ireland. He's over there near Connemara, Ireland. John is a Catholic scholar who lectures and conducts workshops all over the world. He's the author of I started to say one of my favorite books, but it actually, I think, has become my favorite book. It's the first one that I knew about. I think it may be John's first book, called Anamkara. He's also the author of Eternal Echoes. He's the author of a book of poetry called Connemara Blues, and he is our good friend and one of my good friends. John O'Donohue, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's lovely to be with you, and Merry Christmas to you and to all our listeners.
Merry Christmas to you too, John, and all the best to you and your family. How are things in Ireland these days?
Well, things are really nice. I mean, there's been a huge rush up to Christmas. It's been very intense. But once we get over the threshold of Christmas Eve, then everything calms down and goes into a beautiful slow motion where people just take time. And I've just come home to my mum's place. And so after this interview now, I'm going to go off by the ocean for a walk for about 3 hours down to the raw and mystical Atlantic and just let it work on my mind, because I've been going pretty hard for the past 7 or 8 weeks. So I'm delighted to have these 10, 12 days just to uncurl and unwind. It'll be really lovely.
Now, you're on the western side of
That's
Ireland.
Right, actually. As I look out now from where I'll go walking in Fanore in an hour's time, the next stop will be the land of the free and the home of the exceptionally brave.
Now, how far, from where you are now, how far are you from the ocean?
From where I am now, I'm about 2.5 miles from the ocean.
From the ocean.
So I'm just up a little valley, and it's really nice.
I'm coming to see you one of these days. I'm going to be over there.
I know this threat, Jim, you have made for years, and you better start to make good on it, or they'll doubt your existence in Ireland.
I know it. Now, tell us about Christmas in Ireland. How does it? What does it look like in Ireland?
Well, in Ireland now, all the towns are kind of have lights on and Christmas trees and decorations. And I was in Galway yesterday and the day before, and the place is just thronged with people doing their Christmas shopping. And it's so sweet, really. I know there's a lot of hectic involved, but it's very sweet because you see country people into town and their faces kind of mesmerized and stunned as they go kind of procuring the Christmas gifts. And I suppose essentially it's a family time. I mean, when you drive Christmas Day, if you ever have to go anywhere, you meet nobody on the roads because everybody's at home. And a lot of people as well, not so much nowadays, but in bygone days, I mean, 10, 15, 20 years ago, there would be a lot of people who'd come home from England and from America just for Christmas. And still a lot of people do. So it's a lovely time of reunion. And I always think that it's a very special time because I suppose life is magical and wonderful, but it's also incredibly precarious. And from one end of the year to the other, you don't know what's going to happen. So it's lovely to reach a Christmas when everybody's together, and it's a time of recognition of that. It's really, it's a lovely occasion, beautiful time.
Are there a lot of, do Irish decorate very much for Christmas? Do you do a lot of...
They do. My mother now, like one of the things she's done is we came in yesterday evening, she has the Christmas tree up and candles on the windows and everything. And I remember when I was a child, My father would have a candle on every window, and I mean, we were poor and that, so what she usually did was got a turnip and cut it in two, because the turnips were ready that time of the year, and make a little hole in the center of the turnip and put the candle into the turnip. So he always took us, when all the candles were lit then, and he lit the Christmas candle and said a prayer for the whole family, then we'd go out into the night and look back at the house, and he said the house always looked like a ship.
Oh, that's a great story. Ladies and gentlemen,
very sweet, you know. And the neighbors come in, and there's drinks, and there's, you know, lots of storytelling.
Is there Guinness? Is there Guinness, John?
I'm afraid there's Guinness, but you usually have to go to the taverna for Guinness.
Yeah.
Because Guinness, the Guinness you get in the pub is always better than,
John,
than any
John, ladies and gentlemen, John told me that the Irish are doing a good job of being the keeper of Guinness. They're taking care of that national treasure over there, I understand.
We absolutely are.
I'm sure many of you are happy to hear that.
There's a slowness involved in it.
John, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, I'm going to read some things from one of John's books, and I'm going to get him to read from another one of his books. And I know you're going to enjoy them, because these things mean a lot to me, and I think they will to you, too. 20 till, we'll be right back with our good friend John O'Donohue, the author of Eternal Echoes. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with one of my favorite people in the world, John O'Donohue. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm holding a book in my hand. It's called Anamkara. Anamkara, John has taught me, means soul friend. And this book, I wish you could see it, John. When I come to see you, I'm going to bring this book, because otherwise you won't believe it. There are probably 15 or 20 little sticky notes in this book. There are probably another 10 or 15 pages dog-eared. There are sheets of paper sticking out of the top where I've marked things. This thing
is used.
There's no book in my library that is more marked up and more used and more dog-eared and frayed than this book is. But folks, I want to read something to you. This is there are a lot of things that John has written that are really important to me, but this one is one of the most important. It's called A Friendship Blessing, and I want to read this to you now, and it's in John's book Anamkara, and I hope it's still available, because I think...
It is available, yeah.
Yeah, it should be. A friendship blessing. May you be blessed with good friends. May you learn to be a good friend to yourself. May you be able to journey to that place in your soul where there is great love, warmth, feeling, and forgiveness. May this change you. May it transfigure that which is negative, distant, or cold in you. May you be brought into the real passion, kinship, and affinity of belonging. May you treasure your friends. May you be good to them, and may you be there for them. May they bring you all the blessings, challenges, truth, and light that you need for your journey. May you never be isolated. May you always be in the gentle nest of belonging with your Anamkara. John, thank you for that.
Thank you, Jim.
You've got a new book coming out in a couple of months.
I've got a new book. It's out in Ireland and England and South Africa and Australia and New Zealand, and it's called Beauty, the Invisible Embrace. Well, actually, in England and the way this here, it's called Divine Beauty, the Invisible Embrace. It'll be coming out in America in early February, and there it'll be just called Beauty, the Invisible Embrace. And it's all about forms of the beautiful, because I think our times are ripe for a return to the beautiful, because mm-hmm. I believe that it's the neglect of beauty that has caused so much awfulness in politics, so much awfulness in development and in planning, and in the rape of the earth, because if you continue to recognize the beauty of the earth, you couldn't damage it. I also think that it's the loss of the sense of beauty that has done so much damage to religion, that it's forgotten its mystical flame. And I think there's a great confusion in our culture between glamour and beauty, and they're not the same thing, because mm-hmm. I think glamour has to do with image, with the external, and it's empty and insatiable, whereas beauty is a quiet presence, and no life would be bearable without beauty. This time, well, later on, like January of last year, I was trying to finish the book, and I remember one particularly cold, gloomy day, which was very dark in Connemara, and I had been trying to write, and I had the flu, and I felt miserable, and the day was so dark, and I went for a walk, and I saw something that became this poem, and it's really a good kind of expression of what the beautiful is, and I'd like to read it, and the poem is called Swanlight. If it could say itself, January might brighten its syllables on the frost of these first New Year days whose cold is blue. Meanwhile, in this corner of its silence, a weak winter sun lowers down behind the moor that rises away from the lake. Beyond reach of light, the shadowed water succumbs to this darkening of spirit that would deny the bog today's twilight. All of a sudden, something else breaks through to appear at the far end of the lake in two diagrams of white, uneven light. I have never seen white so absolute and alone, glistening an awkward forum, dreaming across the water a bright path. As it stirs and changes, I see what it is. Two swans have found the mirror in the lake where a V of horizon lets light through to make them light source and light shape in one. Now they swim on, fade through windows of reed and disrobe the lake of apparition. I look and look into their vanishing, see nothing, departing that perfect ground I knew I had been hungry for blessing.
That's beautiful, John. And
that's the way beauty comes, I think, to surprise us and to bless us, even when times seem darkest. And I mean, there's great beauty that's very subtly there in every life. I mean, in a Christmas season now, we see the beauty of those that we love and those who love us. And I think one of the most underestimated forms of beauty is the beauty of kindness and compassion, which enables us to see and feel the radiance and warmth of another person's essence and spirit.
Well, what do we have to do, John, to return to beauty, to turn away from glamour so much and return to beauty? What do we need to do?
Well, first of all, I think we need to realize that there's a huge corporate kind of motivation and ideology out there that always wants to market glamour. I mean, the figures, I had them in my head, but I've forgotten them now, for the billions that Americans spend every year on cosmetics and all of the external beauty. I think one moment dedicated to the beauty of heart, to internal beauty, brings a radiance to a life that no glamour could ever purchase for you. So I think it's first of all to see that beauty is real, that it's true, and in the, like, all going back along from the earliest Greek philosophy right up to the present day, the greatest minds of the Western world and the Eastern world have concerned themselves with the notion of beauty. So it's something ancient. St. Augustine says,
John, hold on to that thought. Let me let you finish that on the other side of these messages. I'm going to let John tell us what St. Augustine had to say. And also, John's going to have a blessing for us, which I wait all year long for, and I'm looking forward to that.
When you're down and troubled, and you need a helping hand, and nothing is going.
We're back, 7 till. When I'm down in trouble and I need a helping hand, ladies and gentlemen, I turn to, when I can't talk to him, I turn to his books. John O'Donohue is who I'm talking about. He's our guest and our good friend, the author of Anamkara, the author of Eternal Echoes, the author of Connemara Blues, and the author of his new book, which is coming out in a couple of months. John, give us the name of it again in the United States.
The new book, it's out in England and Ireland already. It's called Beauty, the Invisible Embrace.
Now we have people listening. John, we have people listening in other parts of the world. So if it's in Australia or in the British Isles or Europe, it's called. It has another
Divine
name.
Divine Beauty.
And
it's just being translated into German too. And in German, it's called Schönheit, das Buch von Reichtum des Lebens.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. hey, John.
I just felt it coming on.
Yeah, John, you were telling us about what St. Augustine said.
Oh, yes, St. Augustine was one of the great people about beauty, and he said, too late have I loved thee, beauty ever ancient, ever new, too late have I loved thee.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Folks, I want to read another blessing, another another piece from John's book, Anamkara. And I know, you know, John, you've got these all these other wonderful books, but this one I just keep gravitating back to. And this is
a
blessing.
Yeah.
This is a blessing of solitude, folks. I want to read it for you. I want to share it with you from John. And here's how it goes. A blessing of solitude. May you recognize in your life the presence, power, and light of your soul. May you realize that you are never alone, that your soul in its brightness and belonging connects you intimately with the rhythm of the universe. May you have respect for your own individuality and difference. May you realize that the shape of your soul is unique, that you have a special destiny here, that behind the facade of your life there is something beautiful, good, and eternal happening. May you learn to see yourself with the same delight, pride, and expectation with which God sees you in every moment. John, thank you for that. And folks, I want to remind you, these blessings are sprinkled throughout John, the book, Anamkara. There are so many different things here. There is wonderful narrative as well. There's a section here, John, one of my favorites, is called The Possibility. And
yes.
And I love that part. John, one of the things that I keep thinking about is the importance of what someone said once, that evil only succeeds when good men do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If we're gonna have beautiful things, if we're gonna gravitate towards beauty and away from glamour, good people have to ask for that. They have to demand that, don't they?
They have to awaken to it, and I think beauty is something, though, that can't be used or owned or possessed. That's why I think it's so interesting, and it can't be really targeted. You have to put yourself in the way of beauty, as it were, and then beauty comes towards you. I mean, I think that there is a beauty in everyone, and I think that there is beauty in lots of places in our lives where we never look or think of it. I mean, we
yeah.
don't think of it, so therefore we don't come into its presence. And I think that as well, too, that out on the raw edges where things are broken and where there's pain and where there's suffering, that secretly behind these torn, awkward, sore forums, that beauty is quietly doing her work of transfiguration.
John, I know you have a blessing for us. Can you do it in a minute?
I can do it in a minute, absolutely. This is called a beauty blessing. And just, Jim, two things, if I can say two quick things.
Quick.
One is that anybody that wants to contact me, that there's a number in the States, which is 360-221-6150. And I do some tours to Ireland for people from the States as well, and they'll get information at jodonoghue.com on that. But here's
okay.
a beauty blessing for all our listeners. A stillness in stone to silence is wed. May your heart be somewhere a God might dwell. As a river flows in ideal sequence, may your soul discover time is presence. As the moon absolves the dark of distance, may thought light console your mind with brightness. As the breath of light awakens color, may the dawn anoint your eyes with wonder. As spring rain softens the earth with surprise, may your winter places be kissed by light. As the ocean dreams to the joy of dance, may the grace of change bring you elegance. As clay anchors a tree in light and wind, may your outer life grow from peace within. As twilight fills night with bright horizons, may beauty await you at home beyond.
Thank you, John, for that wonderful blessing. Thank you for the blessing that you are in my life. And the website
and yours
is...
And mine, and Merry Christmas to everybody.
Thank you, John. See you later. John O'Donohue, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.